For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The Vic Porcelli Show.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome home. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Hour number two, ready to roll here. I'm Vic Porcelli. That is Ken Williams. Douglas Blair from Salem Media joins us at 10:41. Donald Trump ended up having dinner with Kanye and this guy, Nick Fuentes, who's a great big white nationalist. He's a Holocaust denier and all that. So we'll talk to Doug about that. And right now, look who's in the room. It's Sweet Virginia. Junior.
The Daily Wire Report is brought to you by Rodney and Jen Walner and the entire Walner home selling team at Berkshire Hathaway. Call them today at 314-810-SOLD.
Our next guest is Virginia Curtis from The Daily Wire.
They've had a taste of freedom. They know what it's like. They're not going back.
Do you understand?
They were ready to fight back with their hands.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So, can we talk about China?
Okay.
The protests that are going on right now, calling for Xi to step down, which is pretty remarkable, right? I mean, Tiananmen Square, that one guy in front of the tank was the big guy we talk about all these years later.
Yep.
But now it's huge crowds and she's going to step down. How are these people aren't going to make it through the week? You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question. You know, it is interesting how we talk about things like this and people, especially on the left in this country, talk about how people were brave enough to go protest. The bravery that it takes to go protest in today's United States, it doesn't even move the needle.
Right.
Because one, you're probably not even going to get fired from your job if you don't show up.
Right. Depending upon who you work for, but yeah.
Yeah. Right. So you, or if you have a job, you know.
Right.
And if you're getting government benefits, they're not going to stop paying you just because you went out to protest. Right. You're not risking anything, really. No. Are there protests that get violent? Sure. But they're more violent if you're there to cover the protest or if you are,
that's a great
heaven
point,
help you, there to counter protest.
Right. Andy knows one guy who.
You are in far more danger if you're trying to cover the protest or stop it than you are if you are out there to protest. I mean, ask Tony Colombo.
Right. He got some trouble. Not trouble, but he feared for his life.
Right.
During the Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for good reason.
Absolutely right.
And all he was doing was covering what happened. So, you know, it is interesting to see that and then to see these people protesting in China. And then you have people here safe in the United States talking about how China has the right idea on COVID. Right. Now China has the right idea on COVID. And you know what they're doing? They're mandatory testing. If you test positive, they actually put you in this isolation pod on wheels and they take you to essentially a concentration camp where you stay until you test negative. And if you test positive again, guess what? You going back.
And if you test negative and you don't come back, that's okay too to them, to the government. They don't care.
Exactly.
Right? I'm sure there are plenty of people who have left their house in China and never came back.
Oh,
for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
So get on that. So you jumped ahead a little bit, which is fine. No, that's okay. we can get back.
I do that.
To shoot. No, he does that. you know, I love you, right, Ken?
Oh yeah.
Okay. so China is censoring soccer games at the World Cup. To not show anybody in the crowd that's not wearing a mask. Because when you live in China, whatever the government tells you is the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying, oh, well, look, they have to wear a mask too, so I guess it's okay that they make us wear masks. But obviously it's not the case.
Right.
Right?
Right. Well, and this goes back to, China has been doing this for a very long time. This is not new. For a long time, television and movies that featured time travel were not allowed in China. The reason being is they were afraid that somebody would show a timeline in China where the Communist Party wasn't in charge and things didn't look awful.
That was
the fear. The reasoning behind it was that you could not show.
They didn't wait to see the movie to see if that was in it. Maybe if there is a possibility that a time travel movie could show a good China, that would be bad.
Yep.
That's crazy.
They couldn't show time travel for that reason. Yeah.
Have I mentioned I love time travel movies and stuff?
They're
obsessed
kind of fun.
With time travel.
Well, and I got hooked on Outlander during the pandemic. So Tim Jones and I talked about that one.
I've watched.
My son Kevin actually watched most of it with me.
I'm obsessed. You don't understand. I am obsessed with time travel.
And this one, they actually do a really good job of, because you know sometimes the timelines don't line up, and they don't really explain how you didn't impact something that you probably should have, and how you change. They're really sensitive to the time travel and what you can and can't change.
Well, you really shouldn't change anything,
right?
You know, as bad as an event may be, there was a show on NBC.
It could always be worse.
Right. There was a show on NBC that was a time travel show. I got into it for a little while, and then they kind of bored me. But the very first episode was the Hindenburg.
Yeah.
And they tried to stop the Hindenburg from happening. So I wrote a novel back in 1998, and the quick premise of the thing was this computer kid had the Y2K bug was coming, right? Uh-huh. And he had to do it, and he did it, but he did it just a second too late, and he ended up, because the computers back then couldn't tell 1900 from 2000, because we used 00, and that's what we used, right?
Yeah.
So my character goes back to 1900, so he's living in 1900. And then he's a history buff, so he knew that William McKinley was assassinated at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo in September of 1901. He goes up there and he's gonna prevent the president from getting assassinated. He's gonna be the big hero, right? First big hero of the 20th century. And for some reason, he doesn't. This lady gets in front of him and he can't get by her, and the guy shoots McKinley anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And on his way back to New York City where he lived, he said, well, I'll witness history, but I'm not gonna try to change history.
You know?
Because, like you said, who knows what could be worse?
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine anything being worse than Hitler, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to go back to the 1920s and, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's what I think is great about how they did Outlander is that they're conscious of the possibility of changing history. And they even actually try to do it a couple of times.
And what happens?
Like, intentionally.
What happens?
But
good or evil?
Circumstances intervene and the end result is the same.
Huh.
So it's one of those, like, they try to change certain things, and then they realize it really wasn't just about one person. It was about this is what was supposed to happen.
Outlander, I got to watch that. Is that streaming anywhere? I got to watch.
At least the first few seasons are on Netflix, and then I think the last two are on Starz.
All right, I'll check
it out. But, like, the first three or four or even five seasons are on Netflix.
So, in President Xi's head, his country doesn't have a drug problem.
Uh-huh.
Because if you deal drugs, they kill you. Plain and simple. Death penalty if you deal drugs. Not the right way to do things, of course. But what do you think about that? About that statement? We don't have a drug problem. We just kill all the drug dealers. That's what he said.
Well, wow. That's a loaded question. If you're killing drug dealers, you have a drug problem because you're taking steps to rectify something.
I'm not agreeing with them. Yeah, yeah.
So, clearly you have a problem you're addressing by killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily saying I agree with that approach to said problem, but you can't just say it's not a problem.
Right, no, I get it.
If you have to kill people to solve it, it's a problem.
They don't care. They killed the kid in front of the tank at Tiananmen Square. I'm not saying they see it as a problem. These crowds right now, half of those people are going to be dead, clearly, right?
Yeah, it is going to be, wow. I mean, we're seeing just the number of protests we're seeing worldwide now is really interesting to me. Because look at what's happening in South America. You see in Brazil, and they're protesting against the government. You see in China, they're protesting.
Let's do these one at a time. So Brazil, they're protesting what they thought was a fixed election, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead.
And in China, they're protesting against COVID restrictions.
Right.
You've seen protests in Russia. Now, talk about where people will disappear you if you protest. Protests in Russia against the war.
Right.
Protests in Iran. Against the government,
all terrible countries.
Well, exactly,
Brazil's okay, but China.
I mean,
Iran,
they've got their issues, but
at least they're not Venezuela.
No, that's true. That's true. But to see these protests springing up around the world, and then to have people in the United States like, we have it so bad, we need to go out and protest. Like, guys, like, if you want to protest, by all means, go protest. But consider what you have for just a second.
You're talking about protesting here in the United
States. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you have the luxury to skip out of work and go protest. Mm. And you know that if you do that, you're probably not going to starve today or this week or this month.
Or your family's going to starve.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying don't protest. I think that we have a fundamental right to go.
It's in the Constitution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I think that we have very much let it get out of hand in this country.
No doubt.
Because to me, the right to protest, it's the right to peaceful protest. And the minute you step out in the street and you block a road, you are no longer peaceful.
Wait a minute. Who said protesters have to be peaceful? Who said they have to be? Sorry, I'm doing my Chris Cuomo. We're talking to V.A. Cruder from the Daily Wire.
You only have to be peaceful if you're on the right.
Exactly. Right. If you're an Antifa.
No,
or
but even then they BLM. Say you're not.
No, right.
Wait, what?
Even if you are peaceful, you're not peaceful if you're on the right. I remember one event I went to. This was St. Louis Tea Party Coalition when it was still a thing. There was an event. It was right across the street from... They were doing a... the Obamas were in town for a dinner with a Carnahan.
You said Obama and my head just hurt.
With one of the Carnahan family, which you know used to be St. Louis political royalty, basically.
Of course, yeah.
And they lived, the house they were going to was off Lindell, right across from Forest Park.
Okay.
And so the tea party was inside the park borders. There was a fence up. And when the police said, hey, we need to back this fence up, people who were there for the protest were actually helping the cops move the fence back to contain them more.
My God.
Right? There were a couple of guys that were part of the Tea Party who happened to be black. And then there was a group down the street that was hoping to catch a glimpse of Obama, right, as he came in. And they came over and started yelling at a couple of these guys, telling them that they, you're in the wrong place.
Right.
You don't need to be over there with.
So who's the racist? Who's the racist?
Come on, guys. And then when I left, I was actually getting ready to head home, and this was 2011-ish. So I had young kids. My oldest at the time was 9, and my youngest was 3. So we were getting ready to leave because, I mean, it's a tea party event. It wasn't like a, we're all mad and we're protesting. We were just kind of hanging out.
Having tea.
Yeah, and we were getting ready to leave. And one of the guys who was part of the Tea Party Coalition, who was a friend of ours, noticed that somebody from the Obama camp was following me and my kids as we left. So he's like, you know what? I think it's time for me to leave, too. He didn't tell me until later that was why he came and walked with us to our car. But he came walked with us to our car, and we went home. Nothing happened. But, you know, it was one of those later on, they say, the reason we caught up to you just then is because there were people following you when you left. And
all right. We got a couple minutes left. A couple of things I want to talk about. All of a sudden, the Taiwan story's kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. It's trying to get to invade Taiwan. You know, Joe Biden says we'll defend Taiwan, which means, you know, World War III, I guess. I don't know. But what's the deal with Taiwan? Where are we at with that?
Oh, well, that depends. What time of day is it? Has the president had his coffee yet? Has he been briefed? Do we know? No, I think every time you ask Joe Biden, he's going to say we're going to defend Taiwan. And every time he says we're going to defend Taiwan, somebody from the White House is going to slap a qualifier on it. What the end result is, we don't know.
So what about China? Are they going to invade Taiwan? You
probably.
Think,
or, okay. Probably, because that's what they want to do. Yep. And the question is when, and will they do it in such a way that they provoke a response from the United States? Because if it is an armed assault on Taiwan, it is more likely to provoke an international response than if they just quietly go in and just stop letting
Taiwan run things. Is there a South Pacific equivalent to NATO?
Don't think so. No.
Should, I mean, there be? Should there be?
I don't know. I'm not sure how useful NATO is at this point.
Well, just in the Article 5 sense, you know, like if a country gets attacked by another country, all of NATO has to jump on board.
Yeah, I you know, I don't know about that, because I, you know, at some point you have to allow countries to handle things between themselves. The reality is, if China invades Taiwan and nobody intervenes, you're not talking a World War III situation.
Right.
Because Taiwan does not have the firepower to engage in a full-scale war with China.
Neither did Hong Kong, as we found out.
And China doesn't want a full-scale war if they can take Taiwan quietly.
Right.
So the question is, how far do you want it to go? And how far is the United States going to go to defend Taiwan? And that's the real question there. I think we should absolutely be promoting democratic governments.
Didn't work
wherever
in Hong Kong, but you know.
But the question is, how much should we be involved in fixing a problem that we're not directly part of?
I completely agree. However, the only caveat to everything you just said is, how far do you let them go? Right.
Right.
Hitler started in Poland. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, well, right. And that is the question. Like, how far do you let them go? How far do you? I mean, they'll tell you now, well, all we want is Taiwan. But, you know, all Hitler wanted
all
was,
we want
Poland.
Was Poland. Right.
So, or actually, he said, all we wanted is this region of Czechoslovakia that's actually ours anyway.
Right.
You know, and.
All right. Less than a minute left here. Are you watching any World Cup at all?
No.
So. The United States, right, have played two games. All that running. Soccer shouldn't be called soccer. It should be called running. Okay? Two games. Run. Not a goal. One goal in two games. And the other team didn't score any goal. 2-0-0 ties for the United States. And now they play Iran. So if they don't beat Iran, something's wrong.
I got nothing. I'm like I said, I'm not watching. It's not soccer's not my thing.
I'm just reading what.
No, I played soccer here in St. Louis on the PNA Kickers. Yeah, Polish National Alliance Kickers.
Is there anything you didn't do?
Yeah.
What?
No, I was just gonna say.
Okay, go ahead.
It was fun.
Want a list?
It was, a lot of running.
I got that from in writing. I need it in writing.
All right.
But the point is,
yeah.
God, these guys and girls just run. That's all they do is run.
That's what it's about.
I don't even like walking, much less running.
I'll never forget one time I was playing, and this guy, I thought I was really fast, and I was really fast. I was one of the fastest people on the team. This guy blew past me one day with the ball.
Wow.
He had the soccer ball, and I thought, okay, I'm coming. He's coming up on me. I got him. Boom. He was just gone.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I need to really start working out.
I played one season of summer soccer league with my friends because they didn't have a goalie and they knew I was crazy. So they let me be goalie. And all I did was run up to the guy and kind of tackle him. Otherwise, I wasn't very good. All right. VA Cruda, how do we find you on Twitter?
At VA Cruda.
Is that right?
At Real Daily Wire, dailywire.com.
Everything's going great there?
Yes. Okay,
fantastic. Thank you so much. Good to see you. Happy belated Thanksgiving and all that stuff.
Same to you.
All right. We'll see you next week. Man, Douglas Blair from Salem Media will join us at 10:41 today. Coming up next, we'll tell you how you can win some cool stuff in our conservative Christmas, and we'll talk about some other stuff too. Stick around. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home, Mom. Bushy brothers, sisters.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I'm Newt Gingrich, and you're listening to the Vic Porcelli Show on News Talk STL.
Joining us now is CNN intelligence and security analyst Bob Baer. Bob, thanks for joining us. We hope you're enjoying the Thanksgiving holiday. I'm curious to get your reaction to these accounts being reinstated.
Well, Boris, I can tell you one thing. Putin is going to be all over Twitter. If there's no regulations on this, fake accounts, spoofed accounts, the rest of it, this is a great opportunity for him. And so when he's talking about the popular voice, Musk, he's really talking about Russian intelligence. You know, the Russians are waiting for something like this. They need a propaganda campaign against the United States and against our support for Ukraine. And they're going to be all over Twitter. I guarantee this. Supporting the far right plans, demands to stop arming Ukraine. You just wait.
Do me a favor, Ken.
Yeah.
Will you hold on to that?
Yeah.
I guarantee, he said.
Yeah.
Guarantees.
He promises.
So he promises. So hold on to that, because we're going to stick it up his ass later on, later okay. in the year. Okay?
You know what I find interesting, Vic, is that for many, many years, Twitter existed with censoring the right, and no one said a single word.
Right.
As soon as Elon Musk takes over, this is what happens.
And Ken, they were the ones who squashed the laptop story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? It's Etstoit.
Exactly that.
It's Etstoit. There were some things you guys were playing this morning. I was like, Etstoit. And it sounds so stupid, but it's so true. Anything you hear the left say, stop. Don't take it for face value. Stop. Listen to it again or say it again in your head. And then, wait a minute, I think it's them that are doing that.
Yes.
And you'll find out that 99% of the time, that's what's happening.
Exactly.
All right, so on Twitter, some things that happened on Twitter last night. This guy named Vince Langman. Let's make sure we see who Vince Langman is first before we start celebrating him here. Oh, yeah, he's a MAGA. And he follows back, Ken, IFB. I'm going to follow him, so he IFBs me. A lot of people do that, you know.
Yeah.
They say I follow back, mm-hmm. I follow them, and they follow me back.
Yeah.
It's great. He said, okay, it's time for a Sunday night version of Good Guy or Douchebag. And it's a picture of Alexander Vindman. So I just said, douchebag. Did my stand and fight tweet last night. Oh, I can't read you that one. But that, just to tell you what it's about, I'm sorry I can't read it, but it's concerning Eric Swalwell's little fang deal.
Oh, okay.
So try to picture what I said based on a pun of his name.
Well, there's many things that you can...
But think about his name.
Well, I always call him Swalwell.
Well, that's kind of what I said, a little bit differently. A little dirtier, yeah.
Okay.
John Rich said England versus USA was 0-0. However, we won't know the final score until Arizona finishes counting the goals sometime in December. That's a great tweet.
That's really good, yeah.
Great tweet. I like that one. And then my picture of the guy. All right, so if you missed it this morning, it's none of my business. I don't know why I can't just mind my own business.
Just mind your own business.
I can't, Ken. If somebody's got a flag hanging in front of their house and they have it displayed the wrong way, it makes my skin crawl, okay? There was a guy in my neighborhood who had a flag vertically. I mean, horizontally, not even vertically. And the stars are on the wrong side, you know? I let it go. He's taking it down, took it down for the Halloween decorations. In between Halloween and Thanksgiving, he had a cool light display of the American flag, which was awesome. That was displayed properly. So maybe when you put the flag back up, you realize which way the stars go. And then there was another one that got on my nerves. I can't remember where that one was. So over the weekend, I see this house. God bless him, man. He had to get up on a ladder. Very, very high. I mean, this is high.
It's a big flag,
too. It's a big flag, and it's very high, you know? I mean, two rungs up the ladder, I'm done. I get dizzy, and I can't go up any higher than like two rungs on the ladder. That's how afraid of heights I am. So he went way up there and to display the American flag the wrong way. And my skin started to crawl. I started to get that rash.
Started to break out like there's something about Mary, the guy in there with the welts.
Yeah. It's like Old Glory rash, I get, if you don't. So just know, if you put up the flag, depending on who you're presenting it to, that's how you know.
Yeah.
because they have on the 5K runs downtown, they always have the two fire trucks with the ladders all the way up, and they hang Old Glory in between the ladders.
Yeah.
So you said, well, which way is right then, fatty? It's the way that the runners will be running towards that flag.
Yeah.
That's who you're presenting it to the runners. So the flag goes, the stars go on the left. If it's on your house, you're presenting it to the world, not to your own house. So the stars, just say stars and stripes in your head. It's stars and stripes.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that.
Got it.
Vote of confidence there, Ken. And you'll know stars and stripes, left to right, right? You'll be left to right. Stars and stripes. Stars on the left, please. You're killing me. Geraldo Rivera said, keep Florida free? Question mark. Because Ron DeSantis said he wants to keep Florida free.
Yeah.
Right. Keep Florida free? From what or whom? Geraldo said. So I answered, you. Because I don't like him.
That's right.
Put up some good cartoons. Who's a bigger loser, Kerry Lake or Sarah Palin? The bad John Cooper. I said, you. A lot of times I just go, you. You're the douchebag. That's it. A guy named Rodster, who's a poker playing buddy of mine, total conservative. He's got a cartoon, a political cartoon, and it's Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is Gulliver. Have you seen Gulliver's Travels? Please tell me you've seen Gulliver's Travels.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, and all the little people, they tie him down.
Right.
And he comes out of the water, right? And all the little people, when I say little people, I mean Comey and Swalwell and Obama and Rosenstein and Maxine Waters and Omar, you know, all have him tied down, and he hits the emergency button because it's time for an emergency again.
Yeah.
We are in tough times, and I'll say it again. I think we're getting closer and closer to widespread vigilanteism in this country and hiding the money in the mattress.
Well, the vigilante part, I mean, I can't imagine somebody seeing someone being attacked and just walk away or open up. The stupidest thing I have ever seen is when they see something happening and they turn their phone on. They don't go help. They just put their phone up. It's like, what are you doing?
That happens every day in the New York City subway system.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
These thugs will come and just start beating these two thugs hit a guy in the head with a whiskey bottle or something. And I mean, cracked his head, you know, blood was coming out. You know, let's get a video of it. Let's not help the guy, but let's take a video of it. You're right. That's terrible. And obviously, I think vigilantism will take over red states quicker than they will in blue states. And then once, of course, if you're in a red state, it doesn't matter if you're in a blue city like we're in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I see a guy beating up a woman in the street and trying to get her purse or trying to hijack her car, and I move in and tell the guy to freeze, get on the ground, whatever, and he doesn't, and I shoot him, I'm in trouble, not him, in this city.
Yeah.
So
most likely. Because you're not in danger at that point unless he comes at you. If he comes at you, Vic, you have a right to shoot him.
And then you're still in trouble. In this city, you're still in trouble.
No. You have to get a lawyer. I would argue that even if you follow every rule in the book in this day and age, being an owner of a gun,
right,
or carrying a concealed weapon.
Let me tell you.
You still need a lawyer.
Kim Gardner will come after you. Like a vicious dog.
Yeah.
And the person who's coming after you will walk free. It's just what's going on right now. And it's wrong. Don't get me wrong, by the way. I am not saying that we should be vigilantes because it really isn't. It's kind of against the law to be a vigilante. But how much can you take? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Here, you want to sponsor a bill? Sponsor the private law enforcement bill. The PL. Sorry.
You tried to do that.
Private law enforcement. PLEB. It would be the PLEB bill.
Okay.
Private law enforcement bill. And say that a company, a store, right, a Walgreens or a Target can hire private law enforcement people to protect their property, their business. That's what needs to happen.
Well, people are getting tired of it. I'm seeing more and more videos where you'll have somebody running in. You always saw, especially in like Chicago or up in the Northwest, mm-hmm. where they would go into a store and they'd get a big, huge, gigantic TV,
right.
and they'd wheel it on out, and people would be looking at them, like saying, "Oh, did you pay for that? No, you didn't. Oh, okay. Well, you're a loser." You know, they would call him names and stuff, but he'd just walk on out. I just saw a video where the guy was trying to do that, and they stopped him. And he's all mad because they stopped him. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait a minute. No, this is supposed to happen.
So if you pass the pleb bill,
yeah.
the private law enforcement bill, that won't happen anymore. But you have to pass a bill to do it. You have to make it a law that if I own a company and I have, because it's the repercussions I worry about. For somebody who's going to do something like this.
Well, off-duty police officers are allowed to do that.
Shoot people?
They're allowed to get paid to be security at a store.
Oh, yeah.
Because, okay. In fact, my nephew and I, we were just talking about that this weekend, and they get paid very well to do it.
Yeah. And what they should do is get on it, start this bill, start a law that says you can hire private law enforcement people who have all the same rights as public law enforcement. Because the public law enforcement part of what's going on in this country is not working, okay? People are still getting mugged. People are still getting killed. People are still getting thrown in front of subway trains. Am I right?
Hey, Vic, real quick, we have a listener on the line who wanted to add to this conversation.
Marty, too?
Maybe.
Okay. Hi, welcome to News Talk STL. Who's this?
Hey, so I'm going to give you a fake name because the case is still pending. So you can just call me Bill. That'll work.
Okay,
hey, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
So last November, I was in a self-defense shooting, coming to the aid of another person, a woman being basically beaten to death by her.
Good for you. Let me say that right up front. Good for you. Go ahead.
But I will tell you, at least in St. Louis County, it has been nothing but smooth for me.
Oh.
St. Louis County police are fantastic on the scene.
They are.
No issue there. I mean, he actually fired at me. So, went back and forth, whatever. But I will tell you this, though. Everybody needs to know, if you don't know this already, when that happens, your gun becomes evidence. And you will not get it back until the trial is over.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So, listen, Bill, what if he was not shooting at you? Then what?
Well, he was shooting at her, so I was okay either way.
Oh.
But then you're not protecting yourself. You're protecting a stranger. How does that work?
So you also in Missouri can come to defense of another person.
Awesome.
I love that.
That's halfway to what I'm talking about, Bill. You know,
Bill. Have you had training?
A little bit. Yeah, I've taken some training here and there, and I'm a member of an organization. I don't want to.
That's okay. Yep. You do what you got to do, or say what you got to say, or don't say what you don't want to say.
Well, the organization I'm a member of is called USCCA, U.S. Concealed Carry Organization Association. It's an insurance that you carry. I recommend it for anybody who's going to carry a gun. If you have an issue with your gun, you call them. They'll immediately send a lawyer if you need one. They'll bail you out if you need it. As long as you're innocent of any charges, you know, they'll handle all your legal fees.
Listen, give me the name of that association.
USCCA.
USCCA.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to try to find them. Ken's going to find them, get them on the air. Bill, good luck with everything you got going on, and thank you so much for calling. Where are you calling from, by the way?
St. Louis County.
Great. So you're at 101.9. You're listening on 101.9?
101.9, yes, sir.
Fantastic. All right, Bill.
Thanks for listening,
Bill. Thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it. All right.
Hey, Bill.
See what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
He came to the aid of another citizen.
I love that.
That should not be against the law.
Correct.
That should be...
he's saying...
St. Louis County.
Right.
Not in the city.
Well, I would still fight it.
Pleb. I'm telling you, pleb.
Yeah.
Private law enforcement bill. Get it done. We got that done?
I'm going to go get that done.
Get that bill passed?
Right now. I'll get that thing taken care of right now.
What about the other thing?
That too.
All right. Douglas Blair from Salem Radio joins us next on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
You're listening to the Vic Porcelli Show.
It's not personal, sir. It's strictly business.
Made in St. Louis for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
All right, welcome home to 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Vic Porcelli. That's Ken Williams. So, a couple of things that I've been meaning to talk. This show's not long enough.
It's not.
This show goes by so quickly that we can't get everything in we want to get in.
We try though,
and I can't. I feel ashamed that I didn't get this story in. But Robert Clary, who was in Hogan's Heroes, he played LeBeau in Hogan's Heroes, and he said, "Okay, Colonel." You know, we say Colonel to Colonel Hogan. He's the last of the main stars in Hogan's Heroes to be alive, and he died.
Yeah,
at 96.
96.
And Ken, he was born in France. He is a Holocaust survivor.
I know. That's what I didn't know that.
Who knew? Why would I know that Robert Clary was a Holocaust survivor, concentration camp survivor, and, you know, got out, obviously, got healthy, and had a great acting career, and he was in Hogan's Heroes, and he died at 96. The story broke my heart, especially knowing that he was a concentration camp survivor.
And, you know, if they would have done that show today, they would have promoted the fact that he was a Holocaust survivor, but they didn't do it that back then.
Ken, back then, the news was CBS, ABC, NBC. That's it.
Yeah.
There wasn't 24-hour news cycle like that.
Right.
And the other story that I can't believe I haven't mentioned this in 2 weeks, and I totally apologize. Tyrus is the new NWA wrestling champion.
Oh, wow.
He won his match a couple of weeks ago, and the left lost their mind. They lost their mind because he commentates on Fox, so he must be a terrible person.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about this, but I think the NWA wrestling is owned by Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins.
I think he's partially owned by
him.
Isn't
that crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
Who would think?
I know.
Right? So congratulations to Tyrus. He's got his new belt around his shoulder now and got felt every night. And Robert Clary, man, what a shame. And what a great talent. And what a survivor. Literally a survivor. All right, time to talk to our friend Douglas Blair from Salem Radio Media. I messed it up, Doug.
I'll take it. You got Salem in there, so my boss will be happy.
But tell me what I'm supposed to say. Salem Media. Salem Media, okay.
He'll remember that from
radio,
now.
I guess, whatever.
There you
big
go.
Shots.
We'll do this conversation next week.
All right, Doug, so here's what I want to talk about today, okay? So Donald Trump has dinner with Kanye, right? Kanye, I don't know if he invited Kanye, if Kanye came on his own, but he thinks it's just dinner with him and Kanye. Kanye, who's on the anti-Semitic train, brings Nick Fuentes with him, who not only is a anti-Semite, he's a Holocaust denier. He also is a white supremacist. Trump says, "I didn't know who this kid was, and we didn't talk about anything like that during dinner." Just start talking about that, and I'll butt in from time to time. Go ahead.
Sure. I mean, I think regardless of how you look at this, it looks terrible. I mean, Kanye West recently has also, as you mentioned, been on the anti-Semitic train. I think it disservices people like our friend from Hogan's Heroes, who recently passed away, who was a Holocaust survivor, right? Like, these people's experiences, these people's memories are diminished when we have these types of anti-Semitic commentary, this type of Holocaust denial in the public eye, in the public conversation. Now, I'm not saying they should be censored from Twitter or anything like that, but we shouldn't be giving them, you know, oxygen. So I think that regardless of how you look at it, whether or not Trump knew about Nick Fuentes, the fact that he even had Kanye at all seems to be a bit of a problem right now. I think that Kanye is doing some very strange things, and Trump giving him oxygen and giving him some space to sort of talk and talk with him isn't great, and I'm not super happy with the president's decision to do that, regardless of whether Nick Fuentes was invited or not. I think it looks terrible either way.
Yeah. So, Kanye, right, let's go back to when Trump was president, and Kanye had his Make America Great hat on, right, gave Trump a great big hug and everything. I was like, hey, maybe this guy's okay, right? And then Kanye did the interview with Tucker more recently, and he said, Donald Trump's my man, right?
Right.
And now he wants to run against Trump. Does anybody really think Kanye will be elected president of the United States? So now they're not quite as friends as they used to be because he's running against them. Trump said he's crazy, shouldn't run. And now he brings Nick Fuentes with him. So I think you're right. I think Kanye is the epicenter of this problem, and he needs to go as far as being in any kind of Republican circles.
Vic, I want to really kind of highlight what you just said there, too, is that, you know, Trump had him and that he was all for Kanye and Kanye was all for Trump and he had the MAGA hat on. That's great. I think Republicans sometimes have an issue where our perception of ourselves is so low that we are desperate for attention and, let's say, acceptance from larger than life people, including Kanye West. Kanye West, even when he wasn't being a raging anti-Semite, was nuts. I mean, he's definitely a creative genius, but he is not mentally well. And I think the fact that Republicans were very quick, and myself included, were quick to say, oh, let's bring him into the fold, let's do all these things, without kind of being like, all right, look, there are some problems with this guy. This guy's got baggage. Do we want this guy to be one of our standard bearers? And I think that our chickens are sort of coming home to roost, where the anti-Semitism is just now one step above what he was doing before. Nick Fuentes is very similar, where I think a lot of people are a little bit scared to denounce his sort of white nationalism, his white supremacy, because there are, unfortunately, there are people in the Republican base that believe some of these things. Are they the majority? Are they what, you know, is driving the party? Absolutely not. The Democrats would like you to think that that's the case, but that's nonsense. But the fact is, I feel like sometimes Republicans need to be much more cognizant and much more forward in saying things like, look, I don't agree with Nick Fuentes on any of this stuff, and I don't want his support. Look, I am not a white nationalist. I don't want white nationalist support. I'm going to speak out against it.
Yeah. All right, listen, we got to hit these like kind of rapid fire here because we're running out of time already. I can't believe it. But Kanye and his mental illness, I got to be honest, I never heard any kind of mental illness talk about Kanye until just recently, and it can't be just recently that he's had mental illness. Do you see where I'm going here?
Oh, absolutely. No. Again, I think that the media was playing cover for Kanye when he was still one of their darling children, when it was sort of assumed that he was a leftist, right? He's a black man. He was dating Kim Kardashian. All of these things would lead you to assume that he was totally fine. But like, you know, even his mother would say things like, you know, there are certain things about Kanye that are different. I don't think we should abandon somebody just because of rumors about mental illness, just about rumors about whatever. I think, though, that when those rumors and those things turn out to be true and there's evidence to suggest that this person does have some baggage, we should be more careful about bringing them into the movement and letting them be standard bearers.
And Kim herself, you know, worked with Trump to get Alice Johnson out of prison, right, for a marijuana conviction.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's
absolutely
not like she was all against Trump. All right. Let's move on. So Nick Fuentes. First of all, if you're a Holocaust survivor, I don't think, and I swear to God I believe this, Doug, if you're a Holocaust survivor, I don't really think you believe that the Holocaust didn't happen. I just think you want attention. Because what more proof do you need that it happened?
That's the thing, right? I mean, I feel like Nick Fuentes is this sort of edgelord online troll.
Right.
That's going to say things that get him attention.
Exactly.
Like the
and make money, right? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. No, I don't know if he necessarily buys it. But again, at the end of the day, who cares? If he's going to say it out loud and he's going to say, and I support Republicans, the average citizen isn't going to say, well, this gentleman seems to be a troll, and therefore I'm going to take what he says with a grain of salt. They're going to read the headlines. The media is going to run with it. The Democrats are going to run with it. And it creates a convincing narrative that Republicans are racist, anti-Semitic bigots. And we don't need that. We're already fighting an uphill battle. Why make our job harder?
I agree. We got 2 years to figure it out, though. All right, Doug. So how are things at tell us in about 10 seconds about Salem Media and you on social media.
Absolutely. So Salem Media is doing great. Check out O'Connor Tonight. That play is every night, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Excuse me. And if you don't want to check out Larry, you'd rather check out some young blood. You can check out me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Douglas K. Blair.
Yeah. Doug Blair, young blood. Hey, man, have a great day. We'll talk again next week.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
See you, Doug.
You know what I'm saying, Ken? If you're a Holocaust denier, there's no way you believe it.
No.
There's no way you believe that the Holocaust didn't happen.
Right.
And you are just an attention whore.
Yep.
And you want to podcast and make money and all that crap. All right. Hey, listen. Thanks for having the record player on at night to listen to us this morning.
Make sure you have the record player on at night.
And coming up next, Dan Bongino on 101.9, Jimmy Failla. on 94.1. And Ken and I will see you tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, for another very quick 2 hours. Quite too quick. On 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
Whoosh.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.